أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. I welcome all of you with Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May peace, blessings and mercy of Almighty Allah be on all of you. Before we deal with the topic of today, I would like to make a request that as all of you may be aware that Sheikh Ahmed Didar just about 2 weeks ago, he has suffered a very severe stroke, and at present he is in a very serious condition. I request the brothers and sisters that we should make dua that he once again gets back his sickness and health. And at present he has been flown in the morning to Riyadh, where he is undergoing treatment at the Riyadh Hospital. And we make dua that we once again have Uncle Ahmed Didar back with us. The topic of this evening's talk is Dawah or Destruction. What do you mean by the word Dawah? It is the same as the word Dawah. But the moment you hear the word Dawah, it reminds you of a lunch party or a dinner party. Dawah does not mean a lunch party or a dinner party. It actually means an invitation. But today, we will not be speaking about an invitation to a lunch party or a dinner party, but we'll be speaking about Dawah to Islam, the invitation to Islam, the invitation to Dinul Haq, the religion of truth. An invitation is only given to an outsider. Therefore, Dawah is to be done to the non-Muslims. When we speak about Islam to the Muslims, it's called as Islam. But when we speak the message of Islam, or we speak about Islam to the non-Muslims, it is known as Dawah. I start my talk by quoting a verse from the Holy Quran, from Surah Al-Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 110, which says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, that, oh, ye are the best of people, you are for mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us Muslims as the كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ, that ye are the best of people, you are for mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us an honor. But always, along with the honor, it is also followed up with responsibility. For example, in a school, the principal has got more honor than the teacher. The teacher has got more honor than the clerk. In the same fashion, the principal has got more responsibility than the teacher. And the teacher has got more responsibility than the clerk. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us Muslims as the kuntum khaira ummatin, that ye are the best of people evolved for mankind, but naturally, we also have a responsibility. The same word gives the answer. It says, ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah, that we enjoy what is good and forbid what is wrong and believe in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us the kuntum khaira ummatin because we enjoy what is good and we forbid what is wrong and believe in Allah. If we don't enjoy what is good. And if we don't forget what is wrong, we are not kuntum khaira ummatin. We are not fit to be called the best of people. We aren't fit to be called as Muslims. Therefore, according to the Holy Quran, it is compulsory that we enjoy what is good and we forbid what is wrong. That is, we speak to the non-Muslims about Islam, about the good things, and we prevent them and we forbid them from the evil. That's the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran gives us this honor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 143, he says, you are the middlemost community, you are the Ummah of one, you are a justly balanced community, and you have to be a witness over the nation, and the messenger will be a witness over you. It's the duty of every Muslim to be a witness over the other nations. It's compulsory that we speak about Islam to the non-Muslims. And our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he will be a witness on us on the day of judgment. Amongst all the surahs of the Holy Quran, Surah Tawbah happens to be the most militant surah of the Holy Quran. Why do I say that Surah Tawbah is the most militant surah of the Holy Quran? Because it's the only chapter of the Holy Quran, it's the only surah which does not begin with the beautiful formula, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Otherwise, if you analyze, all the other 113 chapters of the Holy Quran start with the beautiful formula, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. For example, if in the Quran, it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil nas, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul huwallahu ahad. Every chapter of the Holy Quran begins with the beautiful formula, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. But Surah Tawbah does not begin with this formula. Why? Because in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a warning. And when a warning is given, Bismillah is uncalled for. For example, if suppose you are walking with your wife or with your sister on the road, or suppose I am walking with my wife or with my sister on the road, and suppose there is a hooligan who snatches away the bag of your wife or of your sister and runs away. But naturally, you will try and catch him. And if you catch him, you will not say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You will not say, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. You will not say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. You will not say, may peace be on you. You will get to the topic directly. Hey, mister, give the handbag or take your arm. Hey, mister, give the handbag or break your neck. You directly get to the subject. Similarly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Tawbah, when He's giving a warning to the mushrik, to the pagans of Makkah, Bismillah is uncalled for. Because in Surah Tawbah, the first four verses, there is a peace treaty between the mushrik of Makkah and the Muslims. And this treaty was unilaterally broken by the mushrik of Makkah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a warning and says, you put things back in place or a declaration of war. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 5 of Surah Tawbah that after the four forbidden months are over, you should fight the pagans of Makkah. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them 4 months to put things back. Otherwise, a declaration of war. But by the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reaches verse number 24, the Muslims He's addressing us. Now, we are in the firing line. And he says in the Holy Quran, of Surah Tawbah, chapter number 9, verse number 24, he says, Qul in kana abawkum, say whether they were father, wa abnaakum, or your son, wa ikhwanakum, or your brothers, wa abadukum, or your spouses, your wife or your husband, wa shirakakum, or your relatives. What are your considerations? Your father, your son, your brothers, your spouses, your relatives. What are your considerations? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, what are your considerations? Is it your father? See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Isra, chapter number 17, verse number 23, that I have ordained for you that you worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you be kind to your parents. After worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, next to it is being kind to your parents. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Isra, chapter number 4, verse number 135, he says, Ya ayyuhalladhina aman, O you who believe, stand out firmly for justice and as witness to Allah, even if it be against yourself, against your parents, or the relatives, or the rich and poor. For Allah protects both. That means, you have to respect your parents. But if they go against justice, if they go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can even go against them, or against your own self. So Allah continues in Surah Tawbah chapter 9 verse 24, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَأَشِيرَتُكُمْ Say with the people of father, your son, your brother, your spouses, your relatives, وَأَمَّا لَنِكْتَ رَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَبْتَوْنَا تَقَادَهَا وَمَتَاكِنُوا تَزَوْنَهَا The wealth that you have amassed, the business in which you deal, the houses in which you delight, what are your considerations? The wealth that you have amassed? Allah says in Surah Baqarah chapter 2 verse number 261 that if you sow one grain in the way of Allah, Allah will give you 7 years. Each year bearing 100 grains. That means Allah promises you to give 700 times if you invest in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to know which business in this world will give you 700 times profit. That is 70,000% a profit of 70,000%. So Allah says that the wealth that you have command, what are considerations? The business in which you deal, that if I go in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe I will lose business, I will lose my friends. The houses in which you delight, and Allah continues, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ That if you love all these things more than Allah, His Rasul, and doing jihad in the way of Allah. Allah says, فَتَرَبَّصُوا You wait. حَتَّى يَحْيَى اللَّهِ بِأَمْرِهِ Until Allah brings about His decision to you. Until Allah brings about His destruction to you. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَعْبِكُمْ بِالْفَاسِقِينَ And Allah guides God the perverted transgressors. Allah is telling a Muslim that if you love all these things more than Allah, His Rasul, and doing jihad in the way of Allah, Allah says, فَتَرَبَّصُوا You wait. And believe me, the Muslims are waiting, sitting on our backside doing nothing. What does Allah mean when He says, wait? What does He mean? Suppose, when a teacher, when she's teaching in a class, and she tells the students, when they're reading a book, that look out for a word. The teacher is actually meaning that you should look in the book, not look out of the book. That is the genius of the language. When the teacher says, look out, she's actually meaning the student should look in. Similarly, suppose in the school, there's a senior student who tries to bully a junior student. And the junior student tells the senior student that you wait till I get my elder brother. And the elder brother happens to be the biggest hooligan of the area. So the junior student is actually warning the senior student. that you better improve or you'll be taught a lesson. When he says, wait till I get my elder brother, he's actually telling him that you buzz off, that you fool, otherwise you'll be taught a lesson. In the same fashion, when Allah says, فَتَرَبَّصُوا, Allah says, wait. That means you Muslims, you better improve. Otherwise, destruction will come upon you. Allah is giving a warning. We are in the firing line. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Muhammad, chapter number 47, verse number 38, says, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِنْ كَوْمْ جَيَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُنْ أَمْثَالُكُمْ, that if you do not do the job, if you turn away from the path, Allah will substitute in your place another princess, ثُمَّ لَا يَكُنْ أَمْثَالُكُمْ, and they will not deny you. The Holy Quran says that the people who Allah has given an honor to, if they do not do their job, Allah will substitute in their place another people. ثُمَّ لَا يَكُنْ أَمْثَالُكُمْ, and they will not deny you. If you see history, when you read the Holy Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has chosen the Jews, and he delivered the message to the Jews, and he chose them as the people to deliver the message. But these Jews, they were too proud. They said, why do you deliver the message to the ignorant people? And if you read the Holy Quran, it's mentioned for the Jummah, chapter number 62, verse number 5, that when the Jews were asked to deliver the law of Moses, that the Mosaic law, they did not do the job. Their similitude is like a donkey, like an ass, carrying tons of books, but he understands not. So the Jews looked down upon the Arabs. These ignorant people, what will they understand the message of God Almighty? It's useless giving the message to them. And if you know history, even the invaders, they bypassed the Arabs. Because the Arabs were looked down upon. It was the days of ignorance. Yawm al-Jahiliyyah was called the days of ignorance. And the invaders, they did not even feel like ruling Arabia. You know why? Because they were so ignorant, the Arabs. They did the tawaf around the Kaaba absolutely naked. Then Rajiv, they said that what is a better way to present ourselves to God Almighty than the way in which we came down in this world? So they said that we will do the tawaf around the Kaaba absolutely naked. So the Jews looked down upon the Arabs. And Allah had His way. When He substitutes for people who are not doing the job, Allah chooses those people who are looked down upon. Allah brings those people from the dust and makes them sit on your head. Allah has His way. Allah has His job. You have subdued common terror. Allah will substitute your place and other people. And these people, which Allah chooses, are the most ignorant people. The people who look down upon. So Allah, later on, chose the Arabs. And with the Holy Quran, they became the sword bearers. Allah then chose them, made them the Kuntum Khaira Ummatin, the Muslims. But if you see history, whenever we do not do the job, we are substituted. For example, if you know the history of Spain, the Muslims, we ruled Spain for about 800 years. But we don't do the job. We don't do the dawah. When the Crusaders came, there was not a single man who could openly give the azan. We were wiped out. Why? Because we did not do the job. We did not deliver the message. Allah has you. If you do not do the job, Allah will substitute in your place another people. ثُمَّ لَا يَكُنَمْ تَعْلَكُمْ, and they will not be there. We Muslims, we say that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone in the world. We love Him the maximum. We love him more than a father, more than a mother, more than our family members. We love him the maximum. But do we actually believe in what we say? Suppose your neighbor, if he abuses your mother, or if he abuses your sister, and if you get back home, and when you come to know that he has abused your sister or your mother, what will you do? You will see to it that you teach the neighbor a lesson. If you physically cannot do it yourself, what do you do? You will hire someone else to do the job. You see to it that your neighbor is taught a lesson. He's put in his place. Why? Because we love our mother. We love our sister. We respect our mother. But if you read the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's crying out in Surah Maryam, chapter number 19, verse number 88. He cries out, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذُوا الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا, that they say, the Christians, that Allah who created has begotten a son. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذُوا الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا لَقَدْ جِتُمْ جَيَا إِدًّا. Indeed, it's a most monstrous thing to say, that Allah has begotten a son. Allah says that they say, the Christians, that Allah has begotten a son. Indeed, it's the most monstrous thing to say. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذُوا الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدًّا تَقَالُوا فَمَا وَاتِيَ تَفَتَّنَّا مِنْهُ. As though the skies are raised first, وَتَنَشَقُ الْأَرْضُ, and the earth to split asunder, وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدًّا, and the mountains to fall down to utter ruin. Imagine when they say that Allah has begotten a son, as though the skies are raised first, the earth to split open, and the mountains to fall down to utter ruin, then they should say that Allah most gracious has begotten a son. Imagine, it's the biggest abuse you can give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But believe me, our neighbors, they are abusing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our neighbors, they say that Allah has begotten a son. But believe me, nothing is happening to a Muslim. Why? We say, we love Allah more than our mother, more than our sister. When someone abuses our sister or our mother, we get agitated. We want to teach the neighbor a lesson. But when the neighbor abuses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't want to interfere. It is not affecting us a little bit. Our Christian neighbor, he says that according to the Bible, in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. They say that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, is the begotten Son of God. But are we making any effort to correct our Christian brothers? Have we ever told them to explain the meaning of the word begotten? They say that according to the first epistle of John, chapter number 5, verse number 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And they say, and they believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Have we ever told them that what they believe is wrong? Have they ever told what the Quran says in Surah Nisa, chapter number 4, verse number 171? Quran says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثًا, don't say Trinity, إِنَّهُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, listen, stop it, it's better for you. Have we ever opened our mouth? Have we made an effort to correct them? We say that we love Allah more than anyone in the world. But do we actually mean it? Believe around us, that our Hindu brothers, they say that Allah has begotten a son. But has he made any effort to correct them? They call us for festivals. And you will be knowing about the common festival, that is Ganesh Chaturthi, especially celebrated in Maharashtra, the place where I come from. And they call us for puja. And many of our brothers, the Muslims, they go for the puja and the image have the offering which they made to God Almighty. Therefore, God, God Almighty. That is, they have the Qatar. The Quran clearly gives you the message. In no less than four different places. In Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 173. In Surah Maidah, chapter number 5, verse number 3. In Surah Anam, chapter number 6, verse number 125. And in Surah Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 115. It says, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِرِجَالِ النَّبِيِّ. That's hoping for you for food, the meat, blood, the flesh of swine, and any food on which the name of anyone besides Allah has been taken. The Quran forbids you from having any food on which any name besides Allah has been invoked. It's no less than four different places. And when the Hindus, when they give us the prasad, we go to the function, we go to the puja, and we even have the prasad. We are testifying, we are giving shahada to them that we believe Allah has begotten the Son. Imagine, it's a shame on us. Allah is crying in the Quran that is the most worst abuse we can give to Him. And we Muslims, many of our brothers, we go to the fountain and we testify that what they are saying is absolutely correct. We say that how can we hurt the feelings of our friends? How can we hurt the feelings? And we have to live with them in harmony. So we are giving shahada that Allah has begotten the Son. Have you ever made an effort to correct them? It is so easy. You can yet keep a good relationship with them and correct them. The only thing you have to do when you go to the puja of Ganesh Chaturthi, you have to ask him, that my dear brother, who is the Ganesh? Who is the Ganesh? So the Hindu friend will tell you that Lord Ganesh, he is the son of Lord Shiva. That means Lord Shiva has a son by the name of Lord Ganesh. One day, when Shiva, when he had gone on expedition, for long expedition, his wife Parvati, she takes out dirt from the body and she makes a son. And one day she tells the son, the chief, I am resting in the house. You guard the entrance of the house and don't allow anyone to come into the house because I don't want to be disturbed. And this thing takes place when Lord Shiva is away on expedition. At that moment, Lord Shiva comes back to the house. And when he's about to enter the house, this Lord Ganesh, he stops his father and he says that you cannot enter the house. My mother is resting. And this thing is told to you by a Hindu friend. You don't have to tell him this. He will tell you when you ask him who is this Lord Ganesh. He will describe to you the story of Lord Ganesh. So the son of Parvati, he stops Shiva from entering the house and says that my mother is resting. Lord Shiva, he gets infuriated. He gets wise. That who is this young boy trying to stop me from entering my own house? He's so angry that he chops off the head of his own son. Imagine. You have to ask him the question. That when your Lord Shiva, he cannot identify his own son, how will he identify me? When your God cannot identify his own son, how will he identify me? And the story continues that the head was chopped off so hard that it goes away miles, thousands of miles. So when he realizes his mistake, Lord Shiva, he says that the first animal to come across, chop off the head of that animal and bring that head to me. So the first animal they come across is an elephant. So they chop off the head of the elephant and Lord Shiva takes the head of the elephant and he puts it onto the body of the son and you have a hybrid, an elephant man. And this person is called Lord Ganesh. So you ask him, do you worship such a god? Then the Hindu friend will tell you, see, this is all mythology. It's mythology. We are fairy tales. See, we are in the modern world. You have to tell him that, brother, do you believe in this? He will tell you, no, no, this is only mythology. You tell him that, see, brother, I want to have that prasad, but you prove to me that Lord Ganesh is God. To prove to me, I never have it. He says, he not saying this. He says, Ganesh, you don't have that prasad. You have to educate him. You have to do the job. You have to do the job with hikmah. You don't have to insult him. You don't have to abuse him. You have to ask simple questions, innocent questions, and that is the job. Because the Holy Quran says in Surah An'am, chapter number 6, verse number 108, that revile not those people who worship God besides Allah. Abuse not those people who worship God besides Allah. Lest in their ignorance they will revile Allah. They will abuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to abuse them. You have to ask them questions, and they themselves will realize that how illogical the belief is.